Okay. Before I guess I get stuck into it, I thought I should start with a disclaimer that I'm not going to tell you that we've created a record-keeping utopia at UWS. We don't have people wandering around dreaming about how they can restructure their filing systems and that sort of thing, or at least not that we know of. And when I'm talking about change management, I guess it's good to be aware there are thousands of small decisions and actions you take in implementing an eDRMS that will cumulatively affect how effective your change management is. I'm not going to talk about those in any great detail, but I'll look at some of the principles that will guide those decisions, and also I'll look at some of those big picture change management strategies. So about UWS, we have approximately 4,000 staff, which works out at about 2,800 full-time equivalents. So we've got a lot of part-time staff. We have 36,000 students. We have six campuses on nine main sites, so we are geographically spread out. We've gone through, over the past few years, some fairly major restructuring, and we have a broad range of activities that we carry out. And in some respects, we operate a little bit like a small town. We have shops, we have our own facilities management and all of the rest. So quite a broad range of activities in what we do. Oh, and our staff, to give you an idea of this, the size of my unit, Records and Archives Management Services, we have 7.4 full-time equivalents for 4,000 staff in total. So it's not surprising then to find that we've got a devolved structure for records management, but we do have some centralised functions that we provide. We provide storage. I'll talk a bit about that later, but we have storage for approximately 25,000 standard archives boxes. We carry out records destruction. We manage the university archives collection in a distributed management arrangement with state records. We provide training and support, and we do some centralised, more detailed management, for example, for our legal documents, which we store and scan. Before we even got started on implementing an eDRMS, some of the things that we looked at were things like reviewing or assessing our current practices within the university. And all of this sort of builds on that change management aspect. We started to build relationships with various parts of the university. So we built relationships with our audit team, with our legal team, with IT, and so on. We looked at some internal case studies within the university. We looked at the good stories and the bad stories. So, you know, the bad stories are the ones where you are in dispute with another organisation and you find that you don't have a copy of the contract, so you've got to go to them and say, we're taking you to the court, and by the way, can we have a copy of the contract? And we had some good stories. I'll tell you about some of those. We developed the records management policy. For those in universities, you will probably be aware that in most organisations, policies are mandatory. In universities, they seem to be, you know, take it as you like. So I have to be careful. This has been recorded. I'm sure UWS, they're all very conscientious about following policy. And I guess one of the big aspects of what we do is we have to sell records management. So you do tend towards the end of the process to feel a little bit like a used car salesman, because you're constantly out there selling the message of records management. What do we want to do? What do we want you to do? How do we do it? And so on. What are the benefits? Etc. Okay, so let's have a look at our project in a little bit of detail. So what are some of the problems we were trying to solve? And this all, again, helps us to understand change management. If we understand what the problems are, what are we trying to achieve, then we can look at how we manage change in that context. So we had the problem of multi-site organisation. 36,000 students, no centralised student filing. So if you wanted all of the documents in relation to a student that's been at the university, you have to go to all the people that could potentially have had contact with that student and say, hey, can we have a copy of those records? So that was not manageable, really. Email proliferation, same as everybody. Version control, large number of staff, and lack of attention to record keeping in business processes as a general rule. So what was the project? I'm not going to go into a great deal of detail in the project itself, but we had a fairly simple scope for the project. We didn't include any integrations. We didn't include any bells and whistles. We just wanted the very, very basics of records management to happen in the organisation. We wanted people to create files, and we wanted people to put documents into them. And that's about it. That's not to say that those other things didn't happen, but they didn't happen as part of our project. So the drivers within the university, at least as far as the executive were concerned, were getting document management under control. The other one, which I have to say probably came a long way behind document management, was compliance. But that was certainly in there in the equation. So we needed to know what our goals were to know whether we were having the effect that we needed. Ah, and of course, we had to occasionally admit when we were beaten and find another way. So an example of that was, we have, of those 4,000 staff, probably about 2,000 or a little bit less than 2,000 of our staff are academics. And I won't say anything pejorative about academics. But we knew that was going to be a challenge in getting university academics to take up this system. So especially considering we had recent case examples where we'd rolled out a new student management system and the take-up from the academic staff was fairly minimal. And this is their core business. But we thought, well, we've got to give it a try. So we had training specifically for academics. It didn't go for as long as the training for other staff. So it was easier for them to slot in. We shifted the day and days and of the week and the times and everything else to make sure that they couldn't say, you always have it on Monday and we're never in on a Monday, or I've got lectures and everything else. And I think in the first year we were overwhelmed with, you know, 25 or 30 academics coming to training. And of those, some very small percent actually started to use the system. So we had to look at alternative ways of dealing with the issue of how academic records were going to be captured. And so we looked at a number of initiatives, and the one that ended up working the best, when we looked at what academic staff create that we needed to capture, the biggest priority was the emails they're sending students. So the advice they're sending students about their enrolments, about their current status within a course or a subject, all of those sorts of things up until this point were sitting in somebody's mailbox and nobody had access centrally. So, and there's a few other things that they create. They create subject guides and that sort of thing, which we can arrange for school admin staff to capture. But for email, that's a bit harder. So what we did, we looked at a type of integration where we set up a centralized email address, which is just, we're using Trim at UWS, and we said, if you are emailing a student and you want that to be on their student file, CC it to the Trim email address and it will go on their student file automatically. The cost of that development to get those emails automatically put onto the student files was, I think, about $15,000, compared with the heartache of trying to train and change the practices of 2,000 staff. I sleep a lot better at night with that. Okay, so sometimes I think we had to look at that and say, well, it's just not working. So let's find another way around it. So, okay, we had a set process. When we were rolling out the EDRMS, we had a set process we followed, and that helped to provide that structure to what we were doing. So we sent a memo to the head of the unit, and we outlined why we were implementing the EDRMS, what we expected of them, what services we were going to provide, what the system was capable of, and what the rollout process would be for their unit. So we try and make it very, very clear what their expectations should be in relation to this project. We followed that up with a meeting with key staff, and I'll talk about some of those staff later. We did a record-keeping analysis for each business unit, Dirk style, not to the letter, but that sort of record-keeping analysis that identified what sort of records are you creating, how do we need to manage them, how do we need to capture them, and so on. We then provided training, and we often would have whole business units come to training at the same time, or at least large groups of them, so that we can have them all together. They would then go live as a business unit, again, together. 6 months after they went live, we would give them a formal review of how they were going, and there would be also ongoing monitoring and reporting from our end. So if there were things that we thought they weren't doing terribly well, we'd be able to pick those up early on and give feedback to them. Okay, obviously the one of the critical factors in implementing, it's a bit low, is it? I think that's what my bank tells me whenever I go in there, my account lot. Okay, we had a number of support structures in place. We assign one of our staff as the liaison for each business unit. So they've got the same person to come back to for support from our area. This provides a single point of contact with the TRIM coordinator. TRIM coordinator is a role within the business unit. So when we started implementing TRIM, what we said was every business unit in the university must identify a member of staff that will have responsibility for record keeping in that area. And we called that person the TRIM coordinator. We were absolutely gobsmacked that when we sent out the memo in relation to that, we got something like 96% compliance in nominating staff by the deadline, which I'm still not sure why that worked. That allowed us to build relationships. So between my staff and the TRIM coordinators, we have a close working relationship in relation to how records are managed. We have an understanding of the functions and activities of the business units. We can provide a personalised service, so it's somebody that we know. Because you can think with 4,000 staff, we're just not going to be able to have that sort of working relationship with all staff. And the record-keeping analysis really worked. It gave something to the business unit at the end of the process, something we call the records information form, which is basically a guide to how they create their records and how they manage them. Critical to our approach in how we went about this was the attitude of my staff, basically. And we pushed very strongly that our staff should be having a service-focused approach. So for starters, we are Records and Archives Management Services. So service is part of our title and part of the expectation of what we do. Secondly, we don't expect the users or even the TRIM coordinators to be the experts in records management. So if they need to know something about how they need to manage their records, they come back to us and ask us, and we give them the advice. We're not the records police, so we don't go in and kick heads in and say, you should be managing your records this way. That's why we've got an audit team. They can be the police. And the audit team are. The audit team reports on records management practices within business units in the context of things that have gone wrong or in the context of their routine administrative audits. And I think that's a better structure because it brings back our role as the service role, and the monitoring and auditing role is separate. And we never refer staff to guidelines as a first response. There's nothing worse when you ring up a helpline and they say, or if you check the website, there's a guideline there, away you go. So we give the response, then we can say, oh, by the way, if you need to do this again, there is a guideline on the website that'll take you through it. Okay, you've got to have at least one slide with lots of arrows and boxes and everything else. For us, this is basically the support structure we have for the system. We have a range of training. We have basic training, which is half a day. We had advanced training, which is a day and a half on top of that. We don't actually have the academic training anymore. So I should actually remove that from the slide. In terms of people, as I've mentioned, we've got the records officers in my area. We have the TRIM administrators within the business unit. And then we have the ITD help desk. And some things they can respond to, but a lot of things they'll refer on to us. In terms of materials, we've got our website, so we have a lot of short guides on the website. We've got a records management manual. It's a wonder to behold. It's about eight chapters, so almost like eight little volumes. Not terribly effective, really, in terms of our users. Our users do not go to our website, look at the manual and go, that's how I go about disposing of records. Reality is, if it's anything more than about half a page of text, they won't read it, and they'll ring us anyway. What the manual was useful for is that it helped us define what our processes would be in relation to records destruction or appraisal or whatever it happened to be. We have leaflets that we give out, and they're included in the orientation packs for new staff. We also occasionally, and I've got one next week, we actually give a presentation. When we have new staff, every month or two, we have a presentation for new staff, and I'm giving one of the presentations at the next orientation day. We've got leaflets that we give out, which include managing your records at University of Western Sydney. We also give out the What Have Records Got to Do With Me leaflet from State Records Authority. In terms of the system, we've got a quick guide that can just sit on the desk, and it's just got the three main things you need to know about getting your records in and managing them in the system. So there's searching, putting emails into TRIM, and putting Word documents into TRIM. So it's just three very basic things that they need to know. In addition to that, down the bottom there, I know I've got an other category. Here I am, a records manager, and I've got an other category on my slide. It's terrible. I thought for ages. Yeah, I should have gone for miscellaneous. We've got a listserv. So we've got a listserv for our TRIM coordinators, so we can communicate as a group directly with them. We have the records information form, which I mentioned, which is kind of the guideline for how records are managed within the unit. We've got remote access. So when staff ring up my team and say, I've got a problem, I can't get this record into TRIM, they can remote into their computer, see what they're doing, and then show them how it's supposed to be done on the screen. That's been brilliant. I mean, some of our campuses, it takes an hour and a half to drive between them. So being able to just immediately remote in and show staff what they should be doing in that particular situation has been a godsend. And we have forums. About once a year, we have forums. They're usually timed about when we do an upgrade of the system. And we try and make them reasonably interesting. And the last couple, we've actually held them at the State Records Western Sydney Records Centre and included a tour, behind-the-scenes tour after it. So it gives people something a little bit more out of the ordinary. Okay, just some more aspects, I guess, of changing culture. Dilbert is an absolute mine of these sort of cartoons. It's says something, I think, about... I should give you time to read it, shouldn't I? I know I feel like that in plenty of our staff meetings. You've probably seen this before. There are... when you are implementing any sort of change, there's a range of responses to change, and you have everything from the innovators, which are a great group of people, although a little bit they tend to be a bit gung-ho, through to the early adopters. Early adopters are our favourites. They're the ones that are reasonably grounded and can adopt a system quite well. Once they've got up and running, you've got the early majority. Then you've got the late majority. The laggards, we spend an inordinate amount of our time trying to deal with that last 16%. Once you've pretty much got your system up and running and everything's operating, you spend a hell of a lot of your time trying to get that last 16% to do something. And I'm not even sure that a lot of the time you're actually going to succeed anyway. So I'm half inclined to say, we'll just stop once we get to the late majority and the rest can take care of themselves. We identified when we were looking at this, well, who are the record keepers within our organisation? So sure, we've got the trim coordinators and they're great. We've got the end users. Managers, depends on who you ask, whether they reckon they're record keepers. Certainly if you ask the managers, they'll say no. That's why they've got staff. Academic staff. We did a survey before we implemented the system. It was just interesting to see the responses because we sent the survey out to academic staff and a large percentage of academic staff said, we don't create records. I was inclined to say, we know, but you should. And of course, there's a records management unit. I promise I won't say anything else about academic staff. One of the other things we looked at was how do we present records management in a way that is accessible to the people we're dealing with? Can we present to them this, the continuum model, or can we present to them this? Now, I won't say anything about, again, I'm being taped, so I won't say anything about the continuum model, but for most people, that's fairly incomprehensible. Not for records managers, of course. But yes, this sort of thing, they could comprehend. Okay, if you're about to create a record, think about it beforehand. What can we build into it? And we get pretty good compliance levels with putting in retention schedules and access controls and everything else when people create records. Very few records are created with the wrong access set up. And they can follow that through that process through fairly well to the point where it's the records are disposed of. You get a range of responses in relation to record keeping. We've got the it's just filing, that's pretty common. The second one I think is probably the most common within our organisation. Yes, it's important, but I don't have time right now. There's the when I leave, it won't be my problem. We get a few of those. I've actually been quite surprised. We've actually had very few people say, how dare you tell me what to do with my records. We expected more of that. We're starting to see this one at the end, which is probably a good thing, but it's still one to deal with. I need access now, and I'm too important to attend training. Yeah. Okay. Integrations. We, as I said before, we did not have any integrations scheduled as part of our rolled out of our EDRMS. So all of the integrations I'm about to mention were actually raised by the business units themselves, not by us, but we obviously worked with them to achieve that. So some of those included, we create student files and student locations within TRIM with an integration with our student management system, which is Cluster. We create student staff files and locations, likewise with our integration with our staff system. They also close off the student files and staff files when they leave and make the locations inactive. The student email auto capture, which I've mentioned, we've captured 215,000 since March last year, which is when we went live with that particular integration. Can't remember how many that is a day. It's something like 800 a day. And if we think back to before that point, we'd have been capturing probably less than 1% of those emails before that. And the only reason that worked is because it's easy. And as easy as it is, there are some staff, and I'm not mentioning academics, there are some staff who still think adding a CC, adding an email address into the CC field is a bit too much effort. Our complaints management system, we've got a student form scanning project. So student forms come in, they're scanned centrally, the data is pulled off, shoved into whatever system that belongs, and then the form itself goes onto the student file. We went from, in our busiest time of the year, which is enrolments, very early on in the year, we are processing tens of thousands of forms. We went from having, I think it was about 15 temporary staff employed during a 2 to 3 week period, to one staff member can process those forms mostly on the same day that they come in. And we've got some non-standard applications as well. So we worked with the art curator to control our university art collection on TRIM. Capital Works now has back-scanned 11,000 building plans. And there was a fair amount of user-defined fields and so on, design, that went into that. Likewise with the art collection. We managed the university archives collection within TRIM. Including the historic photograph collection. And because the university and its predecessors go back to the 1890s, that's quite an extensive collection. So how did we measure, or how do we measure, whether we've been successful in changing the culture? What's really sad is one of my staff is named Barry, so I think we've got this pinned up in his office. What are the key performance indicators in relation to have we been successful in our implementation of EDRMS? Number of documents registered, does that tell us how successful we've been? I think these will give you an idea of success, but not necessarily any one of them will give you a complete picture. Impact on physical storage. We're actually storing more physically now than we were before we started the project. And yet we've actually gone to electronic-only student files. So we've got 150,000 student files in TRIM. We've got electronic-only staff files. So there's no paper for student records. There's no paper for staff records. And yet we're storing more records. I'm not 100% sure why that is. I think it's about raised awareness. So they know we exist now, so they store their records with us. Are we compliant? Have we increased the compliance levels within the university? Are vital records identified, captured, and managed? Oh, staff satisfaction. I jumped over that one. We actually had, at the end of last year, a staff satisfaction survey. They're fun. You should think about them. We did this for all admin support areas within the university, and it's basically an assessment by the users of how well we provide our services. And the results are actually posted on our website, and if you did well, you get highlighted the four main things that we do. If we did them well, they got highlighted in blue, and if we did badly, they got highlighted in red. But it gives you a bit of an idea of how records management is perceived within the university. So it's actually been quite useful. And you get the comments, good and bad comments, at the end of that survey as well. In terms of record keeping compliance levels, we're going to have an audit this year. So we are trying to test pretty much all of these things to say, are we registering documents? What is the impact on storage? Are staff satisfied with what we're doing in terms of the services we offer? Are we now compliant, or at least more compliant than we were before? If you're looking at documents registered, it's a nice steady slope on the graph. So that's the cumulative total. So it shows you that the number of documents registered is pretty consistent. So that's a reasonably good sign. We've got this huge jump in about October last year. I'm not 100% sure what happened then. It was probably the first end of year processing period since we went live with that email integration. And so I suspect, but we've only had 1 year of that, so we can't really see trends, but I suspect that's probably what it is. So the outcomes for us, and I'll wrap up very quickly. Yes, we've had raised awareness within the university of record keeping responsibilities. With that has come raised expectations. We've actually got less staff now than we did when we started the process, but we're actually providing a service to the whole of the university. Are there improvements to business processes? I think so. I think if you're looking at something like student records, you've got 400,000 documents going into the TRIM a year into student files. That's pretty impressive. Changing roles for record staff. When I first started the university, our role was pretty much based around the traditional roles of appraising records, storage, disposal, those sorts of things. You could sit in your office and not have a phone call for days. It was wonderful. Now, our role has really changed. Our role is as change facilitators. So we are constantly having that struggle. And as the previous speaker said, it doesn't end. Our project finished 18 months ago, but that doesn't mean we've stopped implementing EDRMS or implementing records management or everything else. It just keeps going and going, which does sound a little bit depressing at times, but I think it's just reality. What is interesting is that now our users know there's a problem in the system. If the system goes down, they know there's a problem before we do. So we get the phone call on Monday saying, the email system went down, I can't see the emails that we sent last week. So where are they? So I think the key factors for success for us, high-level project support. I mean, you're going to see that again. Likewise, the sort of things that are going to impede progress, we found middle management is where it's really going to come unstuck. If middle managers don't support it, it just stops dead in the water for that business unit. Well-structured and supported IT infrastructure, we have a standard desktop environment, and that's made our implementation a whole lot easier. Service approach, particularly from our staff, and managing change as a conscious thing. So, do we see the paperless office? We've been rolling out TRIM since August 2004. We've just got a brand new records repository, so that 25,000 box capacity, half of that is in this, or more than half of that is in this new facility. So we're not seeing any decrease in the demand for physical storage. So I think we're not going to see the paperless office, but we have seen a lot of changes to a paperless process for a lot of things now. So that may happen eventually. I don't know what we'll do with that building then. But no sign of it slowing down at the moment. And of the future, you've got to love the Star Wars scene where the Jedi archivist, in response to Obi-Wan, says, one thing you may be absolutely sure of, if an item does not appear in our records, it does not exist. I think we're a little way off that yet, but it would be great to get to that stage in the future.